Chapter 19. Major Gannon walked from Knightsbridge and into Hyde Park. He stopped to allow half a dozen teenage girls to trot by on glossy horses, all moving with the sort of grace that could only be achieved by hours of expensive lessons. Then he headed across the grass to the Serpentine. It was a warm evening, and he took off his jacket and draped it across his arm. Charlotte Button was sitting at an outside table at the Lido Cafe, overlooking the 40-acre lake that bisected the park. She had a cappuccino in front of her and had stretched out her legs to enjoy what was left of the sun. Gannon checked his surroundings automatically as he walked, though he knew that the sort of men and women Button had on her payroll were skilled at surveillance and would be hard to spot. There were people walking dogs, tourists heading to the Princess Diana Memorial Fountain, schoolchildren heading home, and rollerbladers showing off their skills, but no obvious security. She spotted him and waved, but he was pretty sure that she was faking it, and that she had seen him the moment he had entered the park. He waved back, then pointed to the cafe building and mimed drinking, and she grinned and flashed him a thumbs up. He walked into the cafe, bought himself a large black coffee, and went out to join her. She was wearing a light blue cashmere sweater and a knee-length Burberry skirt, and had hung a beige Burberry raincoat over the back of her chair.
"Thanks for coming at such short notice, Charlotte," he said as he sat down.
"Always a pleasure to see my favourite military man," she said. "Are you still with the Increment?"
Her chestnut hair was slightly shorter than the last time he'd met her, and she was wearing the same slim gold Cartier watch on her left wrist.
"They're calling it E-Squadron these days, but it's a case of tomato-potato," he said.
The Major had been running the group for several years.
"I'm still involved, but I spend more time at Thames House these days advising on security, shopping malls, stadiums, transport hubs, all the obvious targets."
"The world is becoming a very unsafe place," said Button. The Major nodded.
"What happened in Sri Lanka showed that ISIS is still a threat, even though they're being defeated militarily. We've shut down half a dozen serious threats so far this year. It's like the IRA said about Thatcher. We have to be lucky all the time. They only need to be lucky once."
He sipped his coffee.
"Anyway, obviously this isn't a social call. Does the name Martin Hurst mean anything to you? Former SAS left the regiment a couple of years ago. He's been looking for work in the private sector."
He took the printout from his jacket pocket and gave it to her.
"Hurst is the driver."
She nodded.
"He got in touch a year or so ago, looking for work. I had him in for an interview and he seemed perfect. But then I had some due diligence done, and we decided he wouldn't be a good fit."
She gave him back the sheet of paper.
"Because?"
said Gannon, taking the sheet, refolding it, and slipping it back into his pocket. Button tilted her head on one side.
"Now don't be coy with me, Alan," she said. "He's one of yours. You know better than me what his problems are, surely."
Gannon smiled.
"I just wanted to know how much you knew," he said.
"He's unreliable under pressure," said Button. "He was a grade A soldier, a first-class para by all accounts. But the pool doesn't need soldiers. It needs men who make the right decisions. A lot of the time my people are working in pairs or alone, so there's no place for someone who can't think for themselves."
The pool was the shadowy organisation now headed up by Button, whereas E Squadron handled matters that were too demanding for MI5 and MI6, the pool operated in a whole different league. It carried out tasks that the government couldn't be associated with, up to and including assassinations. Whereas the men and women of E Squadron had to follow the law of the land. There was no such restrictions on the pool. Any money paid to them was paid offshore through holding companies, ensuring that there was no paper trail linking it to the government. As part of the deal for taking care of the government's dirty work, Button was allowed to sell her services within the private sector, though she was prohibited from working with other countries. It was a nasty business at best, and not one which the Major would ever want to be involved with. But he accepted that in the world of modern terrorism, there were times that governments needed to take action without getting their hands dirty. And in that respect, Button provided a necessary service.
He was only in the regiment for 2 years, said Gannon. He was offered the chance to return to his unit, but turned that down. We think he's now working in the private sector.
And not in a good way, I suppose, she said. Otherwise, you wouldn't be so keen to track him down.
We suspect he's part of a team that have just killed 7 MI5 officers in a footy house in Wimbledon.
Gannon knew that Button had the highest security clearance. Plus, her sources were so good that she would find out what had happened sooner rather than later. The fact that her jaw dropped showed that she hadn't been told already, and the swear word that slipped out was added proof.
Who the hell would do that? She said.
That's the $64,000 question, said the Major.
They were all footies that were killed.
Gannon nodded. Button frowned.
That doesn't make any sense, she said. Footies don't work active cases. They just maintain legends.
That's what your former bosses said. But what's done is done.
Button nodded slowly.
A former colleague was working with the footies prior to retirement, she said. Drew Mountford. Please, tell me he wasn't caught up in this.
The Major grimaced, and Button picked up on the gesture immediately.
Oh my God, she said,
her hand going up to cover her mouth.
I'm sorry, he said.
Yes, he was in the house.
Why would anyone attack footies? She said. They're either kids or about to leave the service.
They're not sure, said the Major. They took the hard drives. That could have been the objective.
They killed everybody.
Everyone that was in the house. One girl was out and she came back and disturbed them. She managed to escape, and they're trying to bring her in as we speak. I'm not sure how much she'll be able to tell them, to be honest.
Who is she?
Sally Page. She's been with the footies since she joined 2 years ago.
After my time, said Button. So you think that this Hurst character is the killer, and that he's now after Sally?
She took the picture. He was in a black Mitsubishi Outlander on her tail. The vehicle is registered to a shell company on the Isle of Man. You ask.
So it's a professional operation. Clearly. Russians, maybe?
We'd just be guessing at this stage, said Gannon. The key is to find out who Hurst is working for, because he obviously isn't doing this for personal reasons. He's a hired hand.
Somebody hired him to kill 7 MI5 officers.
She shook her head.
Nothing I heard about the guy suggests he'd be the type to do that.
He wanted to join the pool.
Alan, be serious. We're the good guys. We might operate outside the law, but we'd do it for the greater good, to keep our country safe and occasionally to punish those who would do us harm. We'd never do anything to hurt the forces of law and order, or innocent civilians, and we'd never hire anyone who would.
But the point I'm making is that the pool does carry out wet work, as the Americans like to call it. So Hurst was up for that, obviously.
That's what you trained him to do, isn't it? And then he finds out that after all that training, he can't put his skills to work for you. What else could he do? Look for work as a plumber or a florist? No. He'd look for a job that made use of his skills. But your guys usually have a strong moral centre, queen and country. They don't become hitmen for hire.
Some do, unfortunately, said the Major. But I hear what you're saying. Everything I've heard about the man says he's not the sort to go on a killing rampage. But there's no doubting that picture.
Pictures can be faked.
Gannon shook his head.
Sally took it on her phone and sent it straight to her boss. It's definitely him.
Something must have changed, said Button. When we did due diligence on him, he came up smelling of roses on all counts. We would almost certainly have hired him if it wasn't for his reliability issue.
Could you do me a favour, Charlotte?
Of course.
Can you put out some feelers? I can't see that what happened is Hurst's idea,
So he must be working for someone. And that someone must have been recruiting. No one's going to talk to me. But you're in that line of work.
Button smiled thinly. I'd be happy to help, she said.
I'd owe you one.
Her smile widened.
I took that for granted, she said.